In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We've just celebrated the fast of the apostles. And one thing we know about the apostles is that what made them who they were was that they gave of themselves. In many cases, even unto death. We speak about people believing in things and wanting to do things and offering themselves up even unto death. And for most of us, that is a theory. It's something we dream about or we hear about. But actually, to be so sacrificial as to love someone and give of yourself is an incredible thing to do, because it is a godly thing to do. We live in such a selfish time now, when we think about ourselves, we focus on ourselves quite a lot, and it becomes a matter of survival for each and every one of us. And we survive how it suits us. We survive in the way that makes us comfortable, but we don't think of others in the process. If we look at the second epistle to St. Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we read this: "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good." And you think, wow, that's not a very, very good picture. That's not really who we should be. But in the last days, at times when we start to focus on what makes us tick, if we don't have our center of gravity, our focus, our desire to do things being others, it then just naturally becomes ourselves. Do we want to be this person? Do we want to be this person who is a lover of him or herself, a lover of money, a boaster, proud, blasphemer, disobedient, unthankful, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and despiser of good? That's a lot of negatives. And I would hope, I really would hope and I would pray, that there was no single person on earth today that would have all of this at the same time. That would be catastrophic. That would be such a paradigm shift from who we really are, who we were created to be, how we were made, that it would be a totally different creation. Would be a totally different person to how God intended us. Because God really intended for us to be quite the opposite of all of this. Because when God made us, He made us in a particular way. 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." If we're going to live our lives as individual, independent, selfish beings, that's not how God created us. Our God says to us, we are not our own. And that means two things. So whose are we? First, we're His. He made us, He created us. We're His, not as in His possession, but we're His and is as in His children. He has a plan for us. He has a desire for our lives. He has wishes for us based on who we are and based on what our potential is. Not just who we are, but how our potential is. How many of us know our true potential? How many of us growing up in school really just didn't want to go on? Really just didn't want to continue? We got on in school and we were challenged and we felt, you know what, I'm not enjoying this. So I just want to stop. Now, as adults, you can make that decision. You might be able to start a course, it doesn't work. So you do another course. But as children, can we really make that decision? Can we really say, no, I'm going to stop studying, or I'm going to stop taking this medication, or I'm going to stop living in this house, under this roof, within these circumstances? No. Why? Because as children, we still don't have a full picture. But our parents, those who are entrusted over us, have a plan based on what our potential is in their eyes. Now, sometimes their plans are unreasonable. Sometimes their plans are just not what the reality is going to be. But God is not like that. God knows exactly what we're capable of because He made us, He created us. That's why when we're told that we're not our own, it doesn't mean because God owns us, but it means because God knows who we are, God knows what we're capable of, and so therefore, God is able to direct our lives in a certain way. 2 Corinthians 5:15, we read of our Lord that He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. So if we go back to we're not our own, we're His, but we also belong to each other. That's really important. We belong to each other, we're entrusted over each other, we're responsible for each other. God wants to have us within that safety environment, that safety net, so that we can be protected and provided for. This image of the body of Christ, this image of who we're supposed to be and why we come together, isn't just about us fulfilling a function. It's very easy to think that. It's very easy to think that this concept of the body of Christ means you have a function, you need to carry out that function. That's not all it is. Don't forget that while I might have a function as a member of the body of Christ, if everybody else here carries out his or her function, then I in return am not only provided for, but I'm protected. I'm not just a giver, I'm not just a function, I'm a recipient of the culmination of all of these functions together. Sound complicated? If each one of us is fulfilling his or her goal, then we have a successful, thriving, safe community. And so if I'm part of that, then I benefit from it as well. Just as if this body, if my legs are strong, and if I need to escape, I'm able to run, then that body benefits. So God wanted us within this gathering, this community, this body of His, not just so we could fulfill functions, but so He could protect us with each other. Protect us with each other. Unfortunately, we are often a liability for one another. And it's a horrible thing to say, but we are often a liability for one another. We will much more simply and sometimes instinctively lead each other astray then guide each other to a path of righteousness. And it may not be because we mean it. It may just be because we're careless. So if I'm careless over my own life, then I make wrong decisions. But if I'm careless and then my decisions impact others around me, then I impact them as well. And my carelessness has an effect on others. He died for all, that we who live should no longer live for ourselves, but live for Him and live for one another. Because what did this death on the cross do? It made us come together, because we became reconciled through the cross and then resurrected through His resurrection. So it brings us together, it ties us together. You know, there's this tradition that says that people who are baptized in the same font have this constant link with one another, connection, very much like you would say about twins. And it's not difficult to understand why. And so therefore, if we are those who are resultants of the same resurrection, if we have been empowered and reinvigorated and restored by that resurrection, then we have a connection with each other. And so if I live alone, if I live by myself, I'm not fulfilling my potential. It's not what God made me. Imagine the disciples, the apostles, if they just lived for themselves, what would their state have been? What would their sense of fellowship have been? What would the church look like today? It wouldn't. They worked with each other. Our Lord, even in sending them, sent them out two by two before His face into every city and town where He Himself was about to go. So it was an idea of them being together. St. John Chrysostom writes this: "Do you think that the man loving God has given you much so that you could only use it for your own benefit? No, but that your abundance might supply the lack of others." Which makes sense. If I have more than what I need, is God just unwise? Is He oversupplying? So does God know I would need 5 units of something and just give me 10? Is it just a glitch in the system? Is it over distribution? What is it? It's not an oversupply. It's a supply because it goes beyond who I am and what I need, and helps to provide for others. So if you and I have an oversupply, and we're using it for each other, then we can help others as well. There's one example that I always come back to, because I learned when I was back in high school, when we were studying economics. And that was that this constant idea of dumping. I don't know if anyone studied economics here. Dumping. And it's literally, it is what it says. Where in the 80s, there was sometimes an oversupply of wheat in certain parts of the world. And so rather than driving the price down, because as you know, if you have an oversupply of something, then people want to get rid of it, then you can buy it for less. It brings the price down. So rather than bringing the price of wheat down, or feeding those who are victims of famine. This wheat was actually literally dumped into the sea so that there would not be an oversupply. Economically, it makes sense. From a humane perspective, it's criminal. You have people back then in Somalia who were dying in a famine because they didn't have enough food, enough grain. Yet, at the same time, at the same moment, you had other people who had an oversupply of grain dumping it into the sea so that there would not be a decrease in price. Now, God does not want us to dump our goods. God gives us with abundance so that we can take that same abundance and use it for each other. If I have something that I have an abundance of, but you may not, very basic. If I have time, so I'm on a holiday, I'm on decreased activities, whatever, so I have time and one of you doesn't, maybe I can use part of my time to do some of the things you don't have time to do for you. If I have an ability to listen and you're saturated, oversaturated, and you need to speak, then maybe I can help you because God has given me that ability to help you. We all have gifts. And if we look at this, what St. John Chrysostom says is that God doesn't just give us our gifts to use for ourselves and then throw the rest away. It always gives me a lot of pain to be walking through the city in particular and finding people rummaging through bins, pulling out half-eaten sandwiches and half-drunk bottles. It's just such a waste. But that's exactly what we'll be doing here. St. John Chrysostom is saying, God didn't just give you this stuff so you could take your fill and then throw the rest away. He gave it to you so you can take your fill, but then provide for one another. Give one another. That's why he gives us with abundance. God doesn't turn around and say, you are in need of 30 units, so I'll give you 30 units. He says, no, what? You're in need of 30 units, I'll give you 50. I'll give you 50 because I want you to share. Share with your brothers and your sisters. Share with people you don't even know. Share with people you might find in the street. Share with people in need. If I feel a sense of compassion towards someone, a sense of love towards someone, and that love is overfilling my heart and wanting to share it with that person, that compassion, that understanding, that affection, then that's what I do. I share it with that person. A person who may be lacking in that sense of love, denied that sense of love, denied someone's attention or affection, but I can give it. Not necessarily even for a romantic reason, but just because I feel compassionate for this person who is a fellow human being who needs my support, needs my care. It should be very easy to give to everyone. Especially those who we may not even give the time of day to on a regular basis. Because when I give, I think there are two major principles that should be going through my mind that I should be understanding. The first is, when I give out of the abundance that God has given me. I didn't bring this upon myself. You can, I can, we can we can develop our gifts. We can utilize our gifts. We can expand them. We can build upon them. But we can never take them for ourselves. These, after all, are gifts. They are gifts given to us by God that we don't necessarily deserve. We've done nothing to receive them, but we can build upon them and be faithful stewards over them. And so when God gives me, then of course I've received freely. I should be able to give freely. I've received freely, I should be able to provide for others. The second thing is that, yes, I've received freely, but also when I give, I'm not giving to this random person whom I don't know. I am giving to a fellow human being created in the image and likeness of God as I am. And that's why in Matthew 25:45 we're reminded that while in giving any of these you give to me, so if you do any of this to any of these, the least, my brethren, it's as if you've done it for me. The warning we receive in 45 is, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So we pledge ourselves saying, Lord, I would give my life for you. Lord, I want to give my time to you. I want to pledge my attention. I want to vow this or vow that. That's great. But I cannot say that and then at the same time find that I have a brother or a sister who is in need and say, sorry, I don't have time for you. If I haven't given it to them, then I haven't given it to him. It's also very important for us to realize something. That of course we have priorities in our time. We prioritize. The fact that I say, listen, I'm really sorry, I'm busy now. Can I see you in an hour? Can I see you tomorrow? Is very different to, I don't have time for you, I'm just busy, go do something else. I'm not saying don't ever prioritize, because we must prioritize. You're going to have times when you have exams, or you have work, or you have commitments, or you have family. You're going to have all of these things. So of course we must prioritize. So if I see someone in need, I may not have to go immediately now and do something, but it's in my mind to say, I'm really busy with the family now, I'm busy with my work commitment, I have this deadline, but tomorrow I'm going to ask about this person. Even more, if someone comes to you and says, I need your help, whether it's said audibly or it's said inaudibly. If someone screams out and says, I need you, or if his or her actions scream out and say, I need you. It's one thing to say, I feel your pain, I'm going to pray for you now, I just got something to do, can we meet tomorrow? Or say, listen, these days I'm just totally saturated, I don't have time for you. Surely there's a prioritization. I'm not at all trying to tell you how to prioritize, because this is always going to be very specific. I can't tell you, if someone comes and says, I'd like to speak to you, that you should say, no, I will see you tomorrow at 5 o'clock, because I have no idea what your commitments are, I don't even know what you're doing at 5 o'clock. All I'm saying to you, however, is even if you can't right there and then, make sure you make time. I think I may have shared this story with you, but a person who was quite dear to me, who was unwell, who I had intended to go and visit, and for one reason or another, I put it off 1 day, 2 days, and thought, I'm going to go tomorrow. And it was in my diary to go tomorrow. On that day, he passed away. That still haunts me until today. I'm sure I could have made time. I'm sure I could have prioritized. I don't ever want you to be in that position. Don't ever regret something like that. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with us or with other people. What we do know is we are given abundantly by God, and there is no reason why we should not give back. Proverbs 11:25 says, "The general soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." I want you to be careful of this. This is just an explanation. It is not a recipe. It's an explanation, it's not a recipe. Please don't give so that you might receive. Please don't give water that you may be watered. Please don't be generous so that you may be rich. That's just a resultant. That's what's going to happen. That's what God does. It's an explanation of what will happen when you are generous, when you give. Don't do it to receive, because then you lose that blessing. Because our Lord warned and said, well, if you give only those from whom you hope to receive back, what good is that to you? You know what? Go a couple of miles down here, you'll end up in the city, in the financial district. You will find thousands of people who do that on a daily basis. They will lend you so they can get back with interest. They will give you an opportunity so they can get back dividends. And so on and so forth. That's not Christianity. That's market force. That's supply and demand. That's self-interest. But that's not why we should be giving. We should be giving because we have an abundance. And when we give, God grants us even a greater abundance. When we give, God gives us even more. And again, we're reminded in Matthew 10:42, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Even something so simple. Something so simple. Don't expect a reward, but you'll get it. And it may not be a financial reward, may not be a material reward. It'll be something, though. Don't sit and wait. Don't do something with the hope of receiving recognition or glory. Don't give something with the hope that you're going to get it back. Second Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Abundance and abundance. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So that whatever you do, however much of it you do, what you have will be enough for every good work. Not just some good work, not part of the good work, but for every good work. Are we able to be reassured and entrust that God will always provide for us? And so therefore we provide for others. Because it is only when we give that we ensure that we are being the most godly. Give without bounds. Give without limitations. Don't put up self-interested barriers. Don't try to protect yourself. For God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Glory be to God forever. Amen.